Welcome everyone into the B Section Podcast. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined as always by David Goff and Logan Hill. We're brought to you by the Morning Times and the Daily Review. We are in the final stages of the postseason here. Teams making a push to make that state tournament. We got Pennsylvania team left. We got a couple New York teams. But before we get into any of that, let's talk about our presenting sponsor. As always, Logan, hit us with the Jolly Farmer.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. David, I know you hate to hear it, but it's another week, and I'm here to ask, have you been to the Jolly Farmer in Waverly?
No.
I think this is the weekend. This is the weekend where you get set to head out to watch Waverly play in the sectional championship for Class C. It's a noon kickoff on Saturday. Maybe stop that morning and get prepped. Get yourself up. Stop at Jolly. Get a good coffee. Maybe a hot chocolate. It could be cold out there. This might be the Saturday that I think you make it.
7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly.
Yep. Let's talk playoffs. It's football time. We got three teams that advanced. We're going to start with Troy. We talked last week. It was the big one, game of the year type stuff in the buildup. However, the result doesn't quite indicate that. Troy rolls. They advanced to the District 4 championship by beating Southern Columbia 69-28. Logan, before we talk about this week's matchup, talk about the win over Southern Columbia.
You're exactly right in saying that it was the big billing, the game that was supposed to be this one, the clash of the Titans. And then Troy just said, enough of that. They led 25-0 before Southern Columbia finally got on the board. It was 32-14, I believe, at halftime. And it just, Troy kept it up from there. Southern Columbia ended up scoring out of the locker rooms to bring it within 12. And then Troy scored something like 37 unanswered points. And before Southern punched in the final touchdown of the game. But Troy opened the game. They received the opening kickoff. Lincoln Kimmick's 86-yard kick return for a touchdown. First 10 seconds of the game, Troy was up 7-0. So after last year...
Set the tone.
After last year not being able to find the end zone at all, they were in the end zone less than 15 seconds into the rematch. So from there, it was big plays, and they forced a stop on the first drive from the Tigers, and then they punched in another touchdown. Extra point got missed, but it's still 13-0. It goes to, I believe, 19-0. I think they went for two, so it stayed there. But 25-0, Southern Columbia finally scores. They kick off. They kick it deep to Mason Smith this time. 92-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. So Troy just never let off the gas, and I've used this term a couple of times throughout different games this year across different teams, but just really a celebration for them all night. It's most of what they did worked. I think they had one interception. They had a fumble, but they recovered it. So I think you lose the one ball, but really just took it to the team that's been the Titan of District 4 for the last at least decade, if not longer.
So the venue got moved to Mansfield University last week. It will be there again tonight when Troy plays Warrior Run. In the end, did you think the setting made a difference?
That's a good question. Everybody feels faster on turf. That's what they say, right?
So did it rain in your area that night?
For like 25 minutes. Yeah. And it was a driving rain. It was late in the third quarter.
Every bit of a Troy home game feel to it?
It did. The stands, which I guess would be the same way if it was at Alperon Park. Maybe not. But the stands were split up the middle, so Southern Columbia, because the away stands weren't that big.
Yep.
So I heard a lot of Southern Columbia fans that disagreed with some of what was happening on the field.
Okay.
But I mean, it was a loud atmosphere. There was a guy in the Troy crowd just yelling, "Who are we, Troy?" for like long stretches of the game. So I think they brought it. I mean, it's only about, what, 20, 25 minutes from the heart of Troy over to Mansfield University. So not a hard travel if you're a Trojans faithful. Just to run through a couple of the numbers real quick. Woodward, he had 144 yards rushing and two touchdowns on just 8 runs at the quarterback spot, and he also completed 3 of his 5 attempts for 81 yards passing. Joseph Fry threw a touchdown on a halfback toss pass. So threw it to Lincoln Kimmicks, who added the kick return touchdown and then had a receiving touchdown. He also converted a fake punt. He's their punter.
Dipping into the whole bag of tricks for this one. They came ready to go.
So, and it was one of those moments. They were around midfield. It's maybe they're going to try a fake here. Maybe they're going to try it. And then they did. So, but just really a very exciting game. They got Jack Burbage in on the scoring party late. He punched in a 1-yard touchdown after like a 37-yard completion. So really just the moment Troy had been waiting to get to, and then they threw an exclamation point on it.
Well, that advances them to the District 4 championship. They will play Warrior Run tonight. Once again, as we said, at Mansfield University, 7 p.m. kickoff. What do you think coming in terms of a preview? Of course, if you want a more thorough preview from Logan, Daily Review on Stands Now, with a little bit of look inside of what we're going to see tonight against Warrior Run. But just off the top of your head, what are you expecting come 7 p.m. tonight, Logan?
Just to beat home that point you just made, we've had a great week of preview coverage. I was able to get out to Troy's practice last night and interview a couple of players for some different stories. Went back through the film from the win last week. So check out the Daily Review website at this point if you missed those print editions. But this game, I think, is going to be just another, it's another step in the ladder for Troy, who has lofty goals. And now that they've gotten past the Southern Columbia storyline, right, they're going to just hopefully keep it going. This is Warrior Run's, as I know it, first ever district final appearance. They beat Towanda. If Towanda would have won, it would have been all NTL district final and district four for class 2A. But Warrior Run took control of that game early. They led 15-0 after a quarter. It was 29-7 at halftime. And so really just the damage was done. And they got big contributions from Samuel Hall and Eli Butler. It sounds like they're there. Two kind of dynamic playmakers on the offensive end for the defenders, the Warrior Run defenders. You'd feel like Warrior Run would be the Warriors. Maybe that's two on the nose.
Yeah, but maybe.
Warrior Run defender. So
Warrior Run, great name.
Troy gets the home game. Yes, it's at Mansfield University. It's a farther trip for a Warrior Run team than it is for Troy to head on over. One thing I thought was interesting about that venue was it's on a hill. So there was a driving wind the entire time. So if you're going on offense that direction of the field, that could maybe change your plans.
And sure.
If you're predicated on your passing game, it could make you try to shift and do some things differently. But I think it's going to be another – it's now for Troy is – Warrior Run's the number 6 seed. How do we avoid the letdown? We're the number 1 seed. This is the game that we're supposed to win, and we're supposed to become district champions. So we'll see. I'm hoping it's a competitive, fun atmosphere. Last week, while the final score wasn't close, it had all the feelings of a high-intensity, high-leverage playoff football game. So I'm hoping for more of the same this week.
So we certainly don't want the Trojans to look ahead, but we can. And with that said, what are we expecting Troy to go see if they can pull this off tonight?
So I had it pulled up before we sat down, but I'll pull it back up now. They would get the winner if they are to win the district championship. They would move on and they would play the winner of Steel High. And while I pull this up, the winner of that game, they would get Steel High or Bedford. So that looks like it's District 3 and District 5 from the best of my knowledge. So that game would be either Friday or Saturday of next week. That's the quarterfinal round of the PA State football playoffs. From there, it will go semis and then finals. So it's four more games, right? You get four more wins, you're state champion. So that's kind of...
Four is the number.
You got to have your sights set there if you're this Troy team. Senior, got a bunch of seniors, have really just done everything you can do this season to put yourself in a good position to do that.
Good luck to Troy. 7 p.m. tonight, Mansfield University versus Warrior Run for the District 4 championship. Move over the border to New York. We'll start tonight, 8 p.m. odd start time. Again, an hour later than what you'd normally expect. 8 p.m. in Johnson City. It will be a rematch. It's the Tioga Tigers playing for the Section 4 Class D Championship against Delaware Academy, a.k.a. Del High, is what we'll refer to them on the podcast. Again, David, a rematch from earlier in the year where Del High won 41-34. But first, let's talk about how Tioga got here. They beat Spencer Vanette and Candor 35-14. Talk to us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, so I wasn't there. Dave Post was there covering that one for us. But it was a 14-14 game at halftime, which was a little surprising to me just because I covered Tioga play at Spencer earlier in the season, and that was a 28-0 win for Tioga. It was 7-0 at halftime in that game, so that was also kind of a slow start.
In bad conditions too, right?
It was a little rainy in that one. This one was a perfectly sunny day. But this playoff game. But yeah, it was 14-14 at halftime, but the Tioga defense stepped up in that second half and shut out the Eagles the rest of the way, and it was, you know, Tioga rolls on for a 35-14 win. So it wasn't necessarily a dominant, like, full-on 48-minute dominant performance, but they got there in the end in a three-touchdown victory. So
yep, got the job done. It puts them in the Section 4 Class D Championship. Like we said, it's a rematch with Del High, 41-34 last time. And you and I were both there, David. Mm-hmm. It was back and forth. Not sure if we can remember if anyone punted.
Yeah.
Do you think it looks similar this week?
I would probably say it's going to be similar. I it's hard to, like, we've seen how Tioga has evolved over the course of the season. We haven't watched Delhi games, so we don't know how much they've improved either. But I'm excited, almost like, so we have, we'll talk about Waverly in a minute, but that's Waverly versus Forks on Saturday, 1-3 in the state in Class C. I'm almost more excited about Tioga Delhi just because that was a high scoring game.
Could have gone either way.
It could have gone either way. Tioga never led, but was never down by more than a touchdown. It was just tie pretty much the entire night. And
it's interesting coming into the season. I don't think any of us at this table and probably the community would have thought going into the sectional championship, yeah, we thought the Tigers would be here. I don't think we thought they'd be underdogs.
Yeah. Well, that's, I was talking to Nick Aiello just yesterday about the game. It's like, this is the first time he's ever had to go into a playoff game against a team that he's lost to in the regular season. So it was like, if you're not motivated for this game, then I don't know what motivates you.
Right. And of course, we talked about some of the preview stuff in the Daily Review with Logan on Troy. David will have preview stuff in the Times out there on stands right now. You just heard, spoke to Coach Nick Aiello for the Tigers, and he's got, you know, kind of a double feature. Tonight he's got the Tigers in Johnson City, but tomorrow, Class C Section 4 Championship, Waverly, they get Shenango Forks in another really good showdown of some New York State football.
It's almost one of those games that was already written in the schedule in July, just because everyone knew. First of all, it was the last three Section C championship games, or Section 4 Class C championship games, War Forks versus Waverly. Neither was going to let off a whole lot, so people kind of figured Waverly Forks was the likely scenario, and here we are.
Is this game at noon in Johnson City?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so again, that's a Saturday game, everyone. But again, back in Johnson City, this one at noon. Forks and Waverly, common opponent this season, Tioga, both defeated. Common opponent this season, Maine Enwell, their only losses.
Yeah.
42-41, Waverly falls.
Yeah, in overtime.
And then Shenango Forks, how'd they fare against Maine Enwell?
21-14, Maine Enwell.
So a little different style, but two very close games, close two games, very close losses. Games,
yeah.
You think this one stays close throughout?
I would think so. I remember last year being my first year, and again, years are different from other years, but I just remember going into the section championship game thinking, like, Waverly's just crushing everybody. I kind of assumed that's going to happen. And this one, not knowing that Forks was the program that they are, I just wasn't educated in that aspect yet. That was 21-21 in the fourth quarter before Waverly ended up winning the game by 9 points. So that was a close game, and I just, they're rivals, and Waverly is trying to become Shenango Forks in terms of stature in the section, yep. And Forks is trying to keep their heads at that level too. So it's going to be a fun weekend of football.
We talked about how the Tigers got to their final. Waverly, of course, will play Shenango Forks because they dominated Windsor last week, 42-0.
It was kind of a funny start to it because it was nothing after the first quarter. It was only the third time all season that Waverly was shut out in the first quarter. They kind of had a mishandled opening kickoff, which had them start at 1st and 10 at their own 4 or 6 yard line. So, and a couple of negative runs had them at the 1 yard line. They eventually punted. The next possession started after a punt landed at the 1 yard line for Windsor. So there were two possessions for Waverly where they started at the 1 yard line and they're playing justifiably so pretty conservative about it because they didn't want to screw anything up. And once they got the field position late in the first quarter, it was Waverly's game, 42-0. Ben Shaw, on his 16th birthday, had a 12-14 night for a career-high 306 passing yards. He completed all of his last 11 passes. Colson Keithley caught the ball 3 times for 147 yards. He had an 86-yard touchdown in what was driving rain in the third quarter. And Xavier Watson had 5 catches for 79 yards. He had a couple of touchdown catches. It just became Waverly
domination. Doing Waverly
stuff, yeah.
So let's roll through this schedule one more time. And while we're doing so, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. For each game, give me the X factor. Give me that one player to expect that maybe people aren't expecting that each team needs to have a big game from to bring home this championship, whether it's a district title or a Section 4 championship. Logan, we'll start with you. Troy Warrior Run tonight, 7 p.m. in Mansfield. Give me the X factor for the Trojans.
There's a couple places I could go. every one of these guys, you'd say they could be the X factor, and it's like, what are you talking about? My mind first went when you brought this up. Maybe a guy like Brendan Gilliland, their tailback, who had 3 touchdowns last week's game. And I feel like he gets missed because maybe he's not making... He has had a bunch of explosive plays this year, but like in the game the other night, it was a 28-yard touchdown run, a 5-yard touchdown run, and I believe a 6-yard touchdown run. He's not where I'm going to go. I think the X factor for Troy... I don't think you have to worry about their offense. I think they're far enough into it now that they kind of know what they're going to want to do. I think I'm going to go with Lincoln Kimmix on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay.
I have a feeling he'll probably draw a lot of the matchup with Sam Hall for Warrior Run, and you can hold him to one catch. He doesn't really have an impact on the game. I think you kind of figure out a way to grab the momentum and keep it if you can keep Warrior Run's offense from doing anything.
Love that pick. Tonight, 8 p.m., Johnson City, Section 4 championship for Class D, Tioga against Delhi. Who's got to be the X factor if the Tigers want to get on the right side of this rematch?
I would say anybody running the ball not named Jake Brown.
Okay.
Because Jake Brown has become...
He's
going to get his. He's had... I just did a story on his whole season, going from soccer goalkeeper last year to being somehow the leading rusher after he wasn't even supposed to be a premier running back. Now all of a sudden, he's running for nearly 1,500 yards on the season. So you expect, being the bruiser back he is, he's going to get his, I would assume.
Yep.
He had 126 yards on 13 carries against Delhi in the first game against them earlier this season. So Logan Bellis is back. He wasn't in that game against Delhi. He's more of the elusive kind of guy. If he can get some open space and run, he's going to be a big factor. Jaden Duncanson, he had 106 yards on 7 carries and 2 touchdowns in that game against Delhi as well. That was kind of his breakout game. This past week was his first game back after an injury. If he's able to run and find that opening room too, that's going to be a big thing for Tioga. So it's really just kind of spreading the wealth as best as they can.
And then our final game for championship weekend, Section 4 Class C final, once again at Johnson City, but this one's Saturday at noon. Give me the X factor for Waverly to beat Shenango Forks.
I'm going to stay in the run game. I'm going to go with Fletcher Good, the senior running back for the Wolverines. He's really come on as of late. He's had a few 100-yard games. He actually had 116 yards on 20 carries this past week against Windsor. Waverly has shown that their success is largely due to their passing game, because you just dish the ball off to Xavier Watson or Colson Keithley, they're going to get you a lot of yards. And it's going to be tough. The Shenango Forks, as I saw against Tioga earlier this year, when they forced to beat Tioga 25-0, that front line is no joke. If Fletcher Good can somehow get some yardage and be productive, that's going to be a big thing for Waverly.
So, like I said, it's championship weekend. You don't want to miss any of the coverage, any of the buildup, so you can get both preview stories from David and Logan in the Morning Times and the Daily Review. And make sure you get any copy on hand in the next coming days, because they're going to have all the coverage and the wrap up and the game stories you need to know how things turned out and what's coming down the pipe for, state playoffs for some of these teams should they advance.
Before we just turn the page from football real quick, Tawanda did go down to Warrior Run. We touched on that game preview, but in that one, Riley Vanderpool finishes his high school football career, 28 rushing attempts, 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. That was the big takeaway. Other than that, he was involved in the passing game and receiving game a little bit. So he went 9-19 with 114 yards passing and also had 1 catch for 36 yards and a touchdown. Reese Slider got some burn at the QB position in that game. So a great season for them. Maybe they wanted to extend it one more time and get to a district final against Troy, maybe try to get another crack at the unbeaten Trojans, but it doesn't go that way. But a big group of seniors and kind of exceeded expectations feels like the wrong word.
Yeah,
but
that's what I was going to say, though. Obviously, Riley Vanderpool, a tremendous player, and kudos to him on his football career, but also to the Black Knights in general. This was a good season.
I'd say they lived up to their expectations, which is a good place to be.
It was fun. It was fun covering and watching them. Let's move on to a couple more items locally in sports outside of football before we just cruise through some national stuff and get you on your way with your weekend. Volleyball, Tioga volleyball, still alive, still going, right?
Yeah. So Logan was at your championship game. If he wants to talk about that real quick, I have other notes about Tiger volleyball, okay. But
really just a ho hum sweep, an early morning game. I believe it started at 11, so I guess that's not early morning. But most of our, we're used to later starts in the day. But this was on a Saturday, and they won the first set. I believe it was something like 25-13. I don't have it in front of me. But then the next two sets were much closer and much more competitive. Tioga eked out a win in the second set, and then had a 15-5 lead, I want to say, in the third set before Thomas Edison came all the way back to make it like a 1-point match or set, I guess I should say. And Tioga shored up from there. They took a timeout. They figured it out, and they went on to win it, and they advanced on to the state playoffs. So in their home gym, I'm sure that's got to help. It sounds like that was just the neutral site for all those section championships.
Last year, they were in the section championship at Corning.
Okay.
So this year it was at Tioga, and my first time having been to Tioga, I enjoyed the gym. It was nice. Not as much stuff on the wall as maybe you would expect.
Last year there was a ton of stuff on the wall, but they repainted and they just haven't put
No, but that kind of condensed on top of you atmosphere can make for some fun environments.
I did. I like the high bleachers. Yeah.
David, you said you got a couple more notes on Tioga volleyball?
Yeah. So two nights before that section championship was section pool play at Tioga, and that was at Tioga because Tioga was the number one seed. So that was Tioga, Spencer, Trumansburg, and Thomas Edison were in that, and it was everybody played two sets against each other, and the two best records made it to the section championship game. Tioga went 5-1 that night for the best record to advance this Saturday. Edison was 3-3, as was Trumansburg, and they ended up playing each other in a playoff set that Edison ended up winning and advancing to Saturday's championship. So Tioga's last two sets of that night were against Edison, and it came just moments after Edison played against Trumansburg, and Edison needed to win this match to kind of keep their thing alive, and they're down 24-17 in that second set to Trumansburg, scored the last 9 points to win at 26-24. It was just a remarkable comeback. Wow. And then in that first set, Tioga, right after that emotional win for Thomas Edison, Tioga goes into the first set and wins 25-3. It was 10-0 at one point, and it was 25-3. It was like, wow, Tioga's they're set. And all they needed to do was win one more set to guarantee themselves a spot in the championship. But to Edison's credit, they were resilient again. And it was they had like four different 1-point leads late before Tioga ended up pulling it out. But I was left that night very impressed by Edison. And then for Tioga to go and just sweep Edison 2 days later, Tioga really just kind of
dialed in.
They dialed in and lived up to their number one seed for sure. Because, again, Edison was the number seven seed too, so they weren't supposed to be in the championship game to begin with.
So, unfortunately, we do lose one team, Waverly Girls Soccer, one win away from a state Final Four berth. Unfortunately, they fall short. Talk to us about just how the Lady Wolverine season ended.
Yeah, so I was there at Union Endicott on Saturday afternoon. So that was a crazy Saturday afternoon because Tioga football and Tioga volleyball and Waverly Girls Soccer all at the same time. 13 seconds into the soccer game, Waverly started with the ball, but there was a turnover, like an interception on a pass, and 13 seconds into the game, Bronxville scores. So it was 1-0. I was like, oh, that's just a rough start for Waverly, and they weren't really able to get any real offense going throughout the game, and Bronxville scored late in the second half to make it 2-0, and then they were scored with about 10 minutes left in the second half to make it 3-0, which was the final. But I mean, Waverly, it's the first time they were ever in a state playoff game. They were in the section.
Sectional champs.
A week before that, we talked about it last week. That was their first ever section championship in program history. So
great season.
Yeah, you can't put your head down about that kind of season.
Nope, not at all. Before we get into national stuff, Logan, one more time with our presenting sponsor, the Jolly Farmer.
Before we hit the Jolly Farmer, just the last high school note for the week is two Waverly runners competing in the cross-country state championships. That's at Queensbury High School, and that is Harper Miniker and Mackenzie Chamberlain.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I love
Jinx, David, you owe me a Coke.
Jolly Farmer, Logan.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store in Waverly. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, even lottery tickets and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. Lots to choose from, lots to go get, and It's getting cold again. It's not chilly season yet, Kirk, but we're getting closer.
We're close. We are close. A couple different mornings now in the 20s, boys. That means chili season is upon us. And, if there's ingredients that I can pick up from the Jolly Farmer, I'll be there to get them because this is my type of year. The second edition of the college football playoff bracket was released. We'll just give some quick things of note. Number one, still the Oregon Ducks. Although the previously ranked number two team in the country, Georgia Bulldogs, lose last week to Ole Miss, Georgia is now the first team out of the 12-team playoff. Ole Miss gets in as the 11th ranked team in the country. You got that bracket up for us, Logan?
I don't have the bracket. I have the list. Hold on.
Give me the list.
The first, I guess I do have the bracket down here shorter. But one, like you said, one Oregon, two Ohio State, three Texas, Penn State four, Indiana five, BYU six, Tennessee seven, Notre Dame eight, Miami nine, Alabama 10, Ole Miss 11, and Georgia 12, Boise State 13. That is, so Georgia would be in by this letter of the law.
No,
because of automatic bids.
They'd miss out?
Yep, that's be the first team out.
I didn't keep reading, Kirk. I'm sorry.
But it's all
Boise State 8-1, would earn 12 seed as fifth highest ranked conference champion.
It's still all in front of Georgia anyways. They play Tennessee this weekend. If they go ahead and beat Tennessee, they're right back in the thick of it.
The SEC is just a mess.
Yeah.
It's everybody knocking each other
they're
around.
They're eating each other. Miami loses to Georgia Tech. We kind of talked a little bit about Miami maybe being on fraud watch. They've had some wins that they had to eke out against some teams that it shouldn't have been that close. Now they go and play an unranked Georgia Tech team and fall. They're still in, but it's on wobbly legs.
If this was the final bracket, your first round would be Boise State versus Ohio State, 12-5.
Yep.
Ole Miss versus Penn State, 11-6. Alabama versus Indiana and Notre Dame at Tennessee.
Notre Dame at Tennessee is a good matchup. Some of the other ones.
Are you just thinking it's a good jersey matchup?
Yeah.
Because I think Notre Dame's given whoever they play. You already got one side figured out as long as it lines
good
up.
Good colors.
Right.
I don't necessarily. Some of the other matchups aren't quite intriguing, but this is all going to change as we go. We're a long way away from the final, submission. But yeah, I'd say this week, the one that jumps out to me, we said last week was Penn State, Notre Dame. This time, Notre Dame, Tennessee would be the one I think is interesting.
This is when the playoff format gets really fun because you're talking about Indiana hosting Alabama.
Yeah.
That's just so interesting to me.
Yeah, and I know we might think differently if they were wearing maybe Georgia's helmets or we kind of get thrown up. I'm not sure Indiana belongs in this conversation, we'll see how it goes. They're going to get Ohio State in a week, and we'll find out how good they really are. But until then, we'll keep coming back to this playoff bracket release and giving our thoughts. Let's move on to the NFL, though. We got some locks to give out. David and I are both still undefeated at the top. Logan just one game back, only one loss. But we implement a new rule, I guess you would say, to this week's locks. No more picking easy ones. You don't get to beat up on, some of the bad teams. So as of this week, the rule is you cannot pick a team that's going against a team that would be in the top five of the draft order should the season end.
People are calling it the Kirk rule.
Yeah, because we got to have some integrity on the show. So the teams, if the season ended right now, the first five picks in the draft would go to the Jaguars, the New York Giants, the Tennessee Titans, the Cleveland Browns, and the Las Vegas Raiders, which means you cannot pick anybody that is playing them as, a rule of let's try to make this thing a little more interesting. I'll start. I'm going 49ers over the Seahawks. Christian McCaffrey's back. He looked good. The Seahawks, no one knows quite what to make of them. The Niners kind of want to get a little bit of ahead on this NFC West divisional standings, secure their spot. This is a good chance to do it. They beat the Seahawks this weekend. The 49ers are my lock. David.
I'm between two here.
Ooh.
Either
thinking on the fly, live.
Rams over Patriots or Texans over Cowboys. Because I feel like the Rams need one. For sure. And so do the Texans, and the Cowboys are not in great shape, which much to my pleasure of it.
Johnny Williams told me, stick a fork in the Cowboys. Season's over.
All right.
Season's over. So I don't know if that sways your pick or not, but Johnny says he knows his Cowboys. He says this season's done.
I'll go Texans over Cowboys.
Okay, I love it. He'll be pleased to hear that. Logan.
That leaves me to pick. You know what? Let's do it. Bills over Chiefs. Yes. Bills over Chiefs. Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it. It's the boogeyman. There's no boogeyman this week in upstate New York.
Nah, not in the regular season.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he's not a boogeyman in the regular
season. They take care of him.
He's a boogeyman this year. They're 9-0.
Yeah, the Bills, you know what? This is just like the Bills.
10-0.
They'll put an end to this.
9-0?
The Bills will put an end to this undefeated streak. Everyone will be going, oh, man, I told you this is it. This is the year. And
then losing the playoffs.
Allen will see him in the divisional round and get dusted by 3 touchdowns.
I was also looking at that Rams-Patriots game.
Yeah.
But I think this one just, if I have to take the loss, I have to take the loss. But we got to try. This podcast is doing everything it can to bring down the Kansas City Chiefs.
I will not come on this podcast next week and talk about the Bills or the cream of the crop in the AFC if they beat this Chiefs team. I will not do it. Or maybe I will.
I was going to say, guys, that is a lie.
That is it for us on this episode. Once again, it's championship weekend in high school football in this area. Troy at Mansfield University tonight. They're playing Warrior Run for the District 4 Championship. Get out and see them. If you're on the New York side, hey, Johnson City tonight, 8 p.m., Section 4 Class D Final, Tioga against Delhi in a rematch of a game they lost by 1 touchdown earlier this season. And if you got nothing planned on your Saturday and the college football doesn't do it to you, I got you one better. Go back to Johnson City at noon. You'll get the Section 4 Class C Final, Waverly against Shenango Forks. For David Goff and Logan Hill, I'm Kirk Levison, and we will see you next week.